Appreciate this fine crowd here tonight. So many people going on vacation today, but I'm glad you're here tonight. It's a good crowd for Sunday night. Appreciate your presence. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Oh, it's wonderful for the Lord to teach you something, isn't it? And when the Lord teaches you a lesson, you never forget it. I mean, it's wonderful to be taught of the Lord. Let's see, 103, I guess, where it was. How sweet are thy words unto my taste? How sweeter, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy, and no calories in it either, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Now that little exposition is just, I just throw little things out like that for your benefit, you know. The deep things of the word, you know. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Isn't a Psalm 119 a wonderful, wonderful? I mean, it's just you get a blessing just reading, going down reading that. I mean, you can just, that's one of the things, you just read the Word of God and stop and think about it a little bit and just meditate and chew it around. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous passage. And let's ask the Lord to continue to bless it to our hearts as we look at it together. Father, we thank you for this good service and the good songs, good testimonies of prayers that have gone Godward. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word. Thy word has just already been a joy to our hearts. And speak to us now as we consider these verses together tonight. Feed us from your word. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us. Build us up in the Lord. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit of God, anoint me as a preach and defeat the devil and bless these thy people and give them anointed ears and anointed hearts to understand, Lord, thy truths. You be our blessed teacher tonight. Lord, we know if you'll teach us, the Lord, it'll be lasting truth that'll be impressed upon our hearts and lives. So you teach us by thy Spirit and get glory to yourself tonight in this service. And Lord, keep our church true to you. Bless us and keep us, hedge us about, be a grace, and help us to love each other and love thee and do your precious will. And you bless us. And Lord, from time to time, move amongst us, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. You know, one wonderful thing about Psalm 119, the Word of God is mentioned throughout Psalm 119. I think every verse in Psalm 119 but two has the Word of God either directly or indirectly mentioned to it. And those two verses, you can get the Word of God out of it. It's not where it's not directly there. So this Psalm 119 is full of the Word of God. And I've been preaching the Word of God for I don't know how many. I think this is, 13 or 14 stanzas in this already, or more, that I've preached on eight verses at a time, each stanza, and it's full of the Word of God. And again, here in Psalm 119, 97 through 104, this stanza, it's Mem here, the heading of it is, and the psalmist here again tells us the foundation for successful Christian living is found in the Word of God. And we need to be taught from the Word of God and by God. And when the Lord teaches us, we'll learn truths that'll stay with us the rest of our lives. So I hope tonight, from the Word here, that we'll gain truths that'll never leave us the rest of our days on this earth. I trust that something from the Word of God will encourage you and help you and stick with you tonight. Let's look at these verses together. In verse 97, we see the thought of meditation. See the psalmist's meditation. He said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And this verse is certainly the key verse of this stanza. And probably one of the key verses of the entire book of Psalms. And he said, I love the word of God so much, it is my meditation all the day. Or we could reverse it. And because I meditate on God's word all the day, I've learned to love the word of God. How I love God's word. Oh, he just couldn't hardly take it. He loves the word of God so much. The law is the word. There's many, many terms in the Psalms concerning the word of God. Here we see it's the law. In the next verse, we see it's commandments. And the next verse, testimonies. And the next verse, precepts, the word of God. And the word in the next verse. And judgments in the next verse, the word of God. And word, thy words in the next verse. And thy precepts in the next verse. All talking about the word of God. And when you meditate, here he's meditating on, he loves it and he's meditating on the word. When you meditate on the word, you just don't just read it real quick. And this is how I have read the Bible through for many, many, many years. Now some people outline it and look at and chase verses down. That's a good way to do it. I have read through the Bible for all these years just meditatively. I've read it. And thought about it, chewed it over, and God would speak to my heart. And sometimes I'd have to pray, and sometimes repent, and sometimes I'd have to get on my face and reading, just thinking about the Word of God. So we need to mull it over and spend time just analyzing and just letting the Word of God speak to us, thinking about it. And because the psalmist meditated on the Word of God, he could say, oh, how I love thy law. And you, if you will live right and stay in the Word of God, you'll learn to love the Word of God. They, it'll become precious to you. And David didn't say we ought to love God's Word. He didn't say I did love God's Word. He said I do. I love. Oh, how I love right now, present tense, I love thy law right now. And I don't love the Word of God like I should, and certainly none of you could say that you love the Word of God like you should, but I'm glad that I just want to confess before heaven and before earth and before every demon in hell tonight that I love the Word of God. I love God's Word. And I ought to love it more, but I do love the Word of God. As I've said sometimes, you've heard me say many times, sometimes I just like to take a little salt and pepper, put it on the Bible, and just take a big bite of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, love God's Word. And if we'll meditate day and night in the Word of God, this book will learn to love the Word of God. Let me give you five quick reasons why we ought to love the Word of God, why you ought to love the Word of God. First, we ought to love the Word of God because of its source. The author of this book is none other than the Lord God of heaven. That's why you ought to love it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration, it's in-breathed by God. The breath of God has given us this book. The breath of God is on the Word of God. Then secondly, we ought to love the Word of God because because of its common sense. It just makes good sense. This book is the only book that has the answers to life, to death, and eternity. The only book anywhere that has the final answers to life, death, and eternity. And it's the only book that really makes sense. Any other book that tries to give you the answers to life and death and eternity, they're sick. They don't have the answers. The only book you'll find the answers is in the Word of God. Thirdly, we ought to love the Word of God because of its structure or style. No literature can match the grandeur and the beauty and the eloquence of the Word of God, and nor the noble characters that move across the scene of the Word of God. No book can match the Word of God. And then, fourthly, we ought to love the Word of God because of its simplicity. I love the simplicity of the Word of God. And folks, let's don't get away from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Don't get away from it. We don't need deep theology and trying to find new terms and new things in the Word of God. All we need is just to feed on the simple Word of God. The simple truths of God's Word. My mother and father only had a 6th and 7th grade education. They can understand everything about the Word of God they needed to know. I like that, don't you? And then great men, brilliant men, have not been able with their brilliant minds to search out the great truths of God's Word. It defies them. Because man can go so far, and then God takes over. Who can understand God, the mind of God? You'd have to understand the mind of God to understand fully the Word of God. But the average person can understand what he has to know about God's Word. I love that, don't you? You can know. I don't know. I've been reading this Bible all my life. I've been preaching it for all these years. A lot of things I don't know about it. But everything I need to know, I understand about it. I'm glad of that. I don't need to know much. You don't need to know much, but you can understand what you need to know about it. Hallelujah. Like the key verse of the book of Luke. Luke 19:10. For, listen, everybody in here can understand the key verse of the book of Luke. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, everybody in here, just about it. Of any age, I mean, a 4 or 5 year old boy or girl can understand that. There's no big 2 syllable, no 25 cent words in that. For the Son of Man, and it's great. It's the depth of it, the breadth of it. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. How simple, how beautiful. Then fifthly, we ought to love the Word of God because of the Savior it exalts. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and this one I'm getting. They are they which testify of me. Jesus said, the Word of God testifies of Him. So we ought to study the Word, read the Word, meditate on the Word, because it's full of Jesus. Jesus on every page. And if you'll look for Him on every page, then this book will take on new meaning. Now how much do I love the Word of God? How much do you love the Word of God tonight? Now stop and think. How much do you love God's Word? Do you love it enough to turn off the boob tube every day and night and spend some time in the Word of God? Or a better thing, throw the boob tube out the back door. Might be you'd be better off. Your family would be better off. Children would be better off. You'd be better off spiritually. But anyway, we ought to love it enough to not let television dominate our time. But, I mean, turn it off and spend time in the Word of God. Now, the psalmist said he meditated on the Word and loved it here in verse 97. Then he compares himself with three crowds in verses 98, let's see, 98, 99, and 100. He compares himself, first of all, with his enemies, 98, his educators in verse 99, and his elders in verse 100. Now don't get the idea. He's bragging here. Spirit-filled people are humble. He's not bragging. Anytime you see a proud person, mark it down and put it in your pipe and smoke it, that person is not spirit-filled if they're proud. The Spirit of the God will make you a humble person. And the Word of God said that God resisteth the proud. I mean, God fights pride and a haughty spirit. And so the psalmist is not boasting in these three verses. He's not cocky. He's just stating the comparative facts. First of all, he compares himself with his enemies in verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. And if we live for the Lord and live according to this book, we can have a wisdom that baffles the world. You know that? They just can't understand. The world can't understand a born-again child of God. Somebody trusts Jesus and tries to be led of God and rejoices in the Lord. Our people facing problems, and the Lord gives them the joy of the Lord and peace about the problem, peace about operations, and peace about a tragedy, and peace about uncertain circumstances. The world doesn't know anything about that. Thank the Lord for the peace there is. Listen, this old book is good enough. As I said, it's more to live by and good enough to die by. And the world can't understand it. It's beyond. The world can't figure a born-again child of God out. Because they can't figure God out. And then notice in verse 99 his comparison with his educators. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Boys and girls, there's a good life's verse as you go to school this year. I have more understanding, and you've got a verse to back it up right there. So you say, preacher, what do I need to go to school for then? Well, go teach those teachers a few things this year. Maybe might get some of them saved, not saved. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, he didn't say that I have more knowledge than my teachers. No, he has more understanding and wisdom. There's a lot of difference. The unsaved teacher cannot have wisdom, because the Word of God says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the unsaved teacher cannot have wisdom. That comes from God. I went to school 19 and a half years of my life. You would never know what they're talking to me, probably. You don't understand that I could go that long. But anyway, I did. I was exposed to 19 and a half years of my life in schools. Now, I'm certainly not against education. But you know, a born-again child of God who's never finished high school, but who loves the Word of God and is filled with the Spirit, brother, has more wisdom than a boxcar load of unsaved PhDs. Hallelujah. Young people, as you go back to school in a few days, now you ought to obey and respect your teachers. As a young person, as a testimony, you ought to show respect for your teacher. You're not much of a Christian unless you obey and respect your teacher. You ought to do that. But don't accept everything they say. God's word is your final authority. If they line up with a book, that means they're right. If they don't line up with the book, that means they're wrong. I don't care how many degrees they have or how much IQ they have. If they line up with the word, they're right. If they don't, they're wrong. Hallelujah. Now he compares himself in verse 100 with his elders. I understand more than the ancients because I keep their precepts. The word ancients here can also be translated elders. It first refers to older people who have learned by experience. And we often hear that experience is the best teacher. Now, experience is a great teacher, but it's not the best teacher. Right here is the best teacher. The Word of God is the best teacher. And by it, the psalmist says, because I understand the Word, and God's taught me His Word, therefore because of that, I have more understanding than my teachers, and more understanding than my enemies, and more understanding than my elders. And certainly we ought to respect our elders and be kind to them. Person doesn't have any character. One of my pet peeves is to see somebody mistreat an older person. And if you mistreat an elder mom or dad that you have, you're a sorry rascal. You have no character. Folks, we ought to be kind to our elders. We ought to show... Parents, teach your children to respect the elders and be kind to them, be helpful to them. But you know, I've known a lot of old people who've grown old in error and some who know not God. I think an old person facing death without God is one of the saddest things in the world. An old person, it's a sad sight to see a person slip on up in years and know not God. Young people, if you live without Jesus and grow into old age, you'll find out there's no happy old people without God. As you face eternity, the only way you can have joy and peace is to know you're saved on your way to heaven. But our greatest respect now ought to be for this book and the God of this book. So in verses 97 to 100, we see that if you love this book and meditate on it every day, you'll have a greater quality of life than the world can offer you out there. Anything the world offers. Then we see in verses 101 through 104 that the Word of God, if you meditate on it, will lead to consecrated, sanctified living. Notice four areas in these four verses here concerning how the Word of God will produce consecrated living. In verse 101, it'll produce separated living. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. We see in this the two aspects of the Christian life. First of all, separation. I refrain my feet from every evil way. than obedience that I might keep thy word. You know, it's an either or situation. You either live a worldly life or you live according to the word of God. So you take your pick. Take your pick. It's the world or the word. It's an either or situation. I'm glad a long time ago, brother, I decided to follow Jesus. Look back at Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, just turn one page or back to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, thereto, according to thy word. Then verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now you've heard that old saying, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's exactly right. And you will never, listen to me, you will never know the power of God in your life until you separate from the Word. God's not going to give anyone His power and His blessing who will not come clean from the Word. I'll guarantee you. I'm glad as a young teen that I learned that God would bless a separated life. And I hope maybe some of you teens will learn that tonight. God will bless a separated life. Then notice in verse 102, the word of God produced steadfast living. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. He didn't blow hot and cold, up and down, in and out. No, he had learned the lesson, the secret of steadfast, consistent, godly living. And you know, people say they want to be a good Christian, be a consecrated Christian. There's only one way you can be a steadfast, consistent Christian. That's a daily diet of the Word of God. There's no shortcut. I wish I could have you to come up tonight and put my hand on your head and some electric charge come into you that would make you a dedicated Christian. Doesn't happen. You get in that old book every day, read God's Word, and live by the Word of God. And you can live a consecrated, consistent, steadfast, godly life. Now in the last verse, he said, I have refrained. And in verse 102, he said, I have not departed from thy judgments. So nail it down. Decide you're not going to depart from the Word of God. Then in verse 103, we see the Word of God produces satisfied living. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The psalmist found that real lasting joy is found in living according to the Word of God. Oh, if we'd all, young people, learn that tonight. Moms and dads, learn that. The real joy in life is living in the book and by the book. There's no other way for real joy. You know what the devil's crowd will get you to thinking? And the devil will get you to thinking that only the wild crowd out here is having a good time. You know that, now some of you young people, you see this wild crowd, look at them young people, and they'll get you to thinking, oh, this wild crowd's out here into sexual immorality and on drugs and boozing it up and dancing it up. They'll get you to thinking, that's the only crowd that's really having fun. Don't you believe a word of that. Don't you believe that. If you believe that, you're deceived. You follow that crowd. Follow that crowd that's into sexual immorality. Come, young people, come back in a few years and just watch that crowd that's into sexual immorality. They'll have a devastated life. They'll have a devastated life. And follow that drinking crowd that boozes it up, beer, liquor. Why, you know what's going to happen to that crowd if they follow strong drink? It's going to make a fool out of them. Listen to your preacher. Don't take that first drink. God help you not to take that first drink. It'll make a fool out of you. I've mentioned before about this football player. I was in the athletic dorm there at Southern Mississippi, sleep, and an old end came in, drunk as a skunk, and naked as a jaybird, and vomiting all over the floor, and my aching back. He come in wanting to hug me and tell me he's not such a bad boy, and said, "Sorry, I'm come over and grabbing at me and wanting my sympathy that he's not such a bad boy." And it was a disgusting sight. And boy, he was really having a good time, wasn't he? He was having a good time. And if you want peace and joy and satisfaction, it'll only come by living out and out for Jesus Christ. By the way, while I'm on drinking, I have a bad news report to give you. Now, the John City Planner came by here the other day and wanted us to come in the city. They were going to just spot zone right out here. And I found out why that sorry rascal wanted to take this area right here, that block right up the sea, right across over there, including the Burger King and that block right there, all that area into the city limits of John City. And I found out today, brother, why the devil wanted to do that. They're going to start to have a liquor store right over here behind us. A liquor store. I mean, that burns my soul up. I am righteously indignant. I hate the devil tonight. I mean, it's the devil that's putting a man that many of you know over here at the drugstore. I understand it's one of the ringleaders putting that liquor store here. Some of you ought to, I understand now. I'm not sure about it. I was told this morning. I haven't checked the authenticity. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to go talk to him. Better do some talking now, folks, or it's going to be too late. We're going to have a liquor store right in our back door here. And so we need to pray that somehow God will bankrupt that crowd or kill them or do something to keep a liquor store from over here. God help us. Well, let's look at verse 104. Now you're getting my dandruff about, I'm about ready to fight here tonight now. I'm getting stirred up. There's nothing to stir me up over the dancing crowd and the liquor crowd. Brother, I'm a dedicated enemy to the dancing crowd and the liquor crowd. And every man of God, and every woman of God is a dedicated enemy to the dancing crowd and the liquor crowd. Hallelujah. If you're right with God, you will be too, in every aspect. Well, let's look at verse 104. The word of God, we said in verse 101, would produce separated living. In verse 102, would produce steadfast living. The word of God will keep you straight. You want to have a consistent life and not be in and out and up and down and cold one day and hot. Just stay in the Word of God every day. It'll produce consistent living. And then, brother, if you will live for Jesus and live, meditate on the Word, it'll produce satisfied living. And then 104, it'll produce, the Word of God will produce sensible living. The psalmist said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." He said, "Because I meditate on your precepts," he said, "I have enough sense to hate false ways and hate sin." And brother, the most sensible way to live is to hate sin and live right. The most sensible thing you could ever do is to use your head for something besides a hat rack and live and purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself. God help us, folks. Let's not defile ourselves with sin. Sin will defile you. Young people, immorality, sexual immorality will defile you. It'll defile you. It'll wreck you. It'll destroy you. And if you're smart, you'll live a pure life. If you're smart, young people, girls don't write now, you ought to listen to this now. If you're smart, you'll live right. Stay away from sexual impurity. Don't yield your bodies to sexual impurity. And stay off of the bottle. Don't drink that first drink. Don't drink that first drink. If you have as much sense as God gave a goose, you'll live right. Live for Jesus and do right. And I'm glad the Lord helped me as a young person, high school and college, not to fall in immorality. I'm glad of that. It seems like, I mean, I'm as normal as anyone else. I was tempted like anybody, but somehow I was saved and I kept reading the Word even when I was in college playing football around all that ungodly crowd. And somehow, through it all, God hedged me about and kept me from falling into impurity. It was God's grace that did it. It was God's grace. And I'm glad that though I could have had a drink of liquor, drink of beer everywhere I turned through much of my life before I started preaching, I'm glad the Lord helped me somehow, thank God, to never touch. Not one drop of liquor has ever touched my mouth. And it's the grace of God. Now, I'm not bragging on Gene Lashley. It's somehow I was saved, and somehow the Lord helped me not to fall in, He helped me not to be a whoremonger and a drunkard. I thank God for that. I thank God. Now, young people, let me ask you this. Did I lose anything but not becoming a whoremonger? Huh? Did I lose anything by not running around with everything had a dress on? No, certainly I did. Now, did I lose anything in not being a drunkard? Why, certainly I did. Certainly. And you won't lose anything either if you will keep yourself pure and you keep yourself away from the bottle. God will bless you. The Lord's blessed me. Well, the Lord, I mean, every child of God live for Jesus could stand up and say, the Lord just blessed me. And the Lord has blessed me in so many ways and helped me to have an education. Unless I'd played ball, there'd have been no chance for me to get an education. And somehow the Lord helped me to have just enough ability in sports to get into college and get my education before I surrendered to preach. And he blessed me and helped me and get honors in football and high school and college and helped me to play in the Sun Bowl and against some great athletes. I played on a pretty good team in college too. I mean, I was one of their poorest players, but I mean, I was on the team. They had to have somebody, and I guess I was there at the time when they needed somebody. And Roy saw us play one night, and Roy knew it was a brother. We had a team, and we run over everybody but University of Alabama. They beat us 19-6. And God helped me. God, you know why the Lord put me in school like that and playing sports? He wanted me to stay in sports until I surrendered to preach. And I was getting my education. The devil gave me my education, brother, before I started preaching. Hallelujah. And the Lord's good to me. He's called me to preach and given me this fine church to pastor, given me a good wife and fine children. The Lord's been good to me, folks. And did it pay Preacher Lashley to live for Jesus and keep himself pure? Young people, did it pay me? Certainly. And it pays everybody to keep themselves pure and live for Jesus. And it'll pay you, I'll guarantee you, young people. It'll pay you. Young people, let's roll down here. Look at me. It'll pay you to live for Jesus. It'll pay you, young people, to live for Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays. Young people, don't look down. Now, while I preach, look up. I don't know why they're fine young people. Look up. Look at me while I'm preaching. I'm not much to look at, I know, but what I'm saying is good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. And folks, we need revival here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Many of us are praying for revival among our young people. And Brother Jeff, we ought to pray for Brother Jeff, especially as he comes in to work with our young people. As he starts his ministry here. And young people, I urge every young person here tonight who wants to live for Jesus and wants to keep yourself pure, I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. I want every young person that's going to school this year, grade school or high school or college, I want every young person here who will dedicate yourself to keep yourself pure and to live for Jesus, to come to this altar in just a few moments and ask the Lord to help you to live for Jesus in school this year. God help you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I guess all to Jesus I surrender, Brother Gary. Young people, make up your mind. This is going to be a hard year, and we're going to have some casualties. If you don't make up your mind, you're going to live for Jesus at school this year. And you're going to do right at school this year. You're not going to run around that wild crowd at school this year. And you're going to be if you have to stand alone, you're going to stand alone and live for Jesus at school this year. Now, probably some of you already have made up your mind. Girls back here, now, girls, don't talk. Don't talk back here. Girls, don't talk now. This is very serious. Some of you already made up your mind this year that you're going to live a wild life at school. I urge you to reconsider and don't destroy yourself and waste your life this year. But live for Christ. God will bless you in school this year. He'll do it. We're just play softly, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Young people, I love you. I want God's best for your life. And I don't want any of you to become a casualty this year. And I want every one of our young people that's going to school, let's say the grades of the high school grades this year. Let's start off about sixth grade, from sixth grade through college. If you'll say, "Preacher, I want to live for Jesus this year. And I want to do right. I want to do right in school. And I want the Lord to help me this year to be a testimony in school for Him." Just a few days, you'll be back in school. Make a vow tonight that you're going to live for Christ. Just I ask every young person, sixth grade through college, if you'll make that vow, you'll live for Jesus. I ask you to just come down, kneel along this front here, and talk to the Lord and make that vow. Every boy or girl, make that vow. Just get right up. "Preacher, I'll live for Jesus this year." Just slip right on out. A young person don't just come because the others are coming. I mean, if you mean business. Brother Jeff, why don't you come on down? I want you to lead in prayer for these precious young people. Just come on up here, Brother Jeff, if you will. Young people, to ask the Lord to help you, to fill you this spirit. Say, "Lord, help me to do right this year in school, live for you." Young people, watch your friends in school. Get the right kind of friends. Make up your mind, if you're the only one in school that's living for Jesus, that you're going to live for Him. And I'll guarantee you, God will bless you if you'll do it. Brother Jeff, come over and lead us in prayer for these precious young people.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is sufficient to move in our hearts and to change us. Lord, I thank you for every one of our teenagers, for every one of our children, and for their desire, Lord, to serve you. Lord, I thank you for the ones who have come forward and praying. Lord, we know what you're doing in each of their hearts right now. You know the needs, and Father, I pray that you'd meet those needs. Father, we see a world out there, and Satan desires to destroy people. Father, he knows it's his last days, and he desires to destroy our young people with the world's philosophies and all the sin and things. And Lord, he desires to trap them. I pray that you might just set a hedge of protection around them as they go to their schools. Lord, I pray that they would keep themselves pure. That even as Daniel, when he was young, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Lord, that's what these young people desire to do, and that's what we do. We dedicate them to you. Keep them, Lord. You are their shepherd. You are the one who has to protect them. You are the one who has to keep them. Lord, more than that, we pray on the offensive. We pray, Father, we might see a harvest of souls. I pray that we'd see souls saved from kids down at Science Hill and Liberty Bell down in Johnson City. I pray that we see kids saved at Daniel Boone and over here at Gray Elementary, Davy Crockett High School. Father, I pray that we'd see souls saved from Dobbins Bennett, from Sullivan South and Sullivan Central and all the schools around here. Lord, we need to see souls saved, and only you can do that. There's a world out there that's lost in sin and going to hell, and they don't have the answers, but the answers are found in your word, and we thank you for your word. save some people this year. I pray that you would use every single one of these young people as they keep themselves pure. I pray that you would keep them safe, but at the same time use them to see many souls saved. We're asking for your hand upon all that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen.